All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life. We've recently been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm your co-host, Laura Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small, and our team of experts show you how to consume and shop responsibly by recommending world-changing products, brands, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the world-changing goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast. This episode is brought to you by Pod Pronto, our podcast editing service. If you're looking for friendly, fast, and efficient podcast editing, you should check out podpronto.com. It's hard to believe that this year is almost over, and it's even more mind-blowing that we're also closing out a decade. We can all agree that it's been quite a banner year for advancements in the ethical and sustainable lifestyle movement, whether we're talking about the rise of Marie Kondo or the banning of plastic straws. There's also been some setbacks, however, like in the fight against climate change, and more information than ever is coming to light about issues like recycling, fast fashion, and more. As a matter of fact, we have so much information to share with you that came out over this past year that we're making this a two-part episode, and we'll release part two next week. Lisa and I invited Alden Wicker to weigh in on the top ethical and sustainable stories of 2019 alongside us. Alden is an investigative journalist, ethical fashion expert, and founder of EcoCult.com, one of the top sources for in-depth reporting on everything eco-friendly. Alden is also one of our Brightly.eco partners and has written a piece or two for our platform, which you can watch for more to happen soon. And we're thrilled to have her years of expertise on our side as we wade through the top themes of 2019. Before we get into the podcast, we also want to highlight a question from you, our community. One of our Good Together listeners, Courtney, called in and asked us a question about recycling that I'm pretty sure everyone wants to know the answer to. Let's hear from Courtney now.
Hi, this is Courtney. I am currently living in Denver, Colorado, and I just started listening to the podcast. I was wondering if you guys have encountered any research on the idea of bringing refillable containers to stores for shampoo and conditioner and lotion and dish soap, any plastic container where there's normally some residue left on the inside of the container, and things that are not normally repurposed. I was thinking about this recently, like in the similar to a growler, how you can take that to like a bar or a brewery or a, you know, some grocery stores have it, where you go and you fill up and you pay by the ounce and you can bring that home, and then it's your container that you can go back and refill it.
What I'm hearing from Courtney is that she'd like us to talk briefly about what happens with recyclable containers that she buys potentially at Costco full of shampoo.
Yeah. All right.
Quick tips.
So for one thing I want to kind of preface this brief conversation about is that as consumers, you know, we are asking a lot from consumers to, you know, be bringing containers to the store or shipping them back or refilling them themselves. So I am, and as we get more into this topic, maybe in the future episodes, because, you know, there's a lot of research needs to be done, I'm excited to see brands kind of making it as easy as possible for consumers to go through this process of using either glass containers, metal, not using plastic, maybe not having to refill it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because we want, ultimately, we want as many people to do it, and it has to be super, super easy. We're not there yet, but let's see what options we do have.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you know, one thing that we'll talk about more in this episode is that, unfortunately, less than 10% of the plastic that we try to recycle gets recycled here in the U.S., which is a huge, huge bummer. So what the main tip we have is to just cut down the amount of plastic that you use. And when you think about going to Costco and buying big things of shampoo in bulk, that's actually not a terrible idea. The bigger container that you can use, the better, because that cuts down on the amount of small containers that you'd use. So buy that giant container if you can, you know, if there's not like a glass or metal option, which unfortunately there's oftentimes not. And then once you're done with that big bottle of shampoo, try and reuse that container for other purposes around your house, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what I usually do, this is pretty simple, I think. So, you know, obviously all of us have this regular small containers for shampoos, for dishwashing liquid. And then when I have time or opportunity, I do go to Costco, buy this large container, and I just simply, obviously you can't use the large container at home, so I just use the small original container and keep refilling it with, you know, bulk Costco stuff.
Absolutely. And then if you can, buy from brands that do offer different solutions to this problem. So there's a few brands that we feature on the platform, like Grove or Public Goods, that offer these pouches that you can order. So you can like order a glass container from them, and then they'll send you large pouches filled with dishwasher soap or shampoo, etc. I'm not 100% sure how recyclable the pouches are, but it kind of goes back to the point that we made earlier around buying as big of containers you can. And then the final tip we have before we get into the next episode is go to stores, if you're really passionate about this, go to stores that offer refill stations. So like the Zero Waste Shop here in San Francisco, we have a store called Rainbow Grocery that offers it. So yeah, I've never done that myself, but there are more and more shops popping up that offer those solutions.
And something that Courtney mentioned is that, you know, it's a very similar, like taking your growler to a brewery, right? Or taking your milk bottle, the glass milk bottle, to your milkman or your milkman refilling it. And it's something this topic comes through a lot of our podcast episodes, is it's something we're actually going back to what has been done before by our previous generations, right? It was natural to be buying milk from your milkman and using the glass container, refilling it. Maybe not, it wasn't natural to be, you know, refilling your shampoo, but all of the shampoo and beauty and cleaning products were natural at some point. So a lot of times we're basically going back to what has been done before.
Absolutely. All right. If you're interested in having us answer a question you have about ethical and sustainable living, you can ask us one of two ways. The first way is to head over to brightly.eco/podcast, scroll down, and leave us a quick voice message like Courtney just did. Or you can also send us an email to hello@brightly.eco, and we'll read it out loud. We love to get these questions, and we're happy to get to the bottom of things we can all do to help make the world a better place. And with that, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. All right, well, we are thrilled to be kicking off the Year in Review podcast episode. We've got myself, Laura, here alongside Lisa and Alden Wicker of EcoCult. So Alden, I wonder if you could just say hey and let the audience know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. So I am a sustainable fashion journalist and expert. I am the founder of EcoCult.com, which I just checked. It got 1.3 million visitors so far in 2019. And
that's
I also freelance. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about it. And I also freelance a lot. So you'll see me most often at Vogue Business and The Goods by Vogue. But I always have other things in the works. I will write about sustainable and ethical fashion for anyone who will take me. So I guess that about sums it up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one of the reasons, you know, we wanted to have Alden on the show is, you know, she's got just such a long history of really digging deep and asking the hard questions relating to a lot of the topics that come up in the industry. And I think, you know, all the questions we're constantly getting from our community evolve, you know, they revolve around greenwashing and a lot of misinformation out there. So we really appreciate Alden's willingness to be a true journalist.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I'm super excited, you know, to welcome Alden on our podcast. Alden participated in Good Together Live, our first and only episode for now that has been recorded live at the event that we hosted in October in San Francisco. But yeah, this will be a very loaded episode, and I think Alden is probably the best person to be the one discussing and digging deeper into details.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to cover, so let's go ahead and get started. And, you know, so the way we're going to run this is, as we know, 2019 was a banner year for the ethical and sustainable fashion and lifestyle movement. Obviously, there were a lot of, current, you know, events that were happening that were helping to move the conversation forward. There were also a lot of things happening on the planet that you could definitely see as setbacks in terms of what's going on with the climate, et cetera. So what we want to do is kind of balance these different themes that we've come up with, with positive sides of things and negative sides of things. So hopefully this is entertaining, informative, and is something that will, produce conversation starters for you as you go out and you chat with your families. So the first topic we wanted to talk a little bit about was, on a positive side of things, we wanted to talk about all of the wins for less waste. So there's a few things to unpack here. One would be all of the straw bans, which I know that they're, for some reason, they're like kind of controversial in some areas. I don't know. But overall, I think people are really excited about the reduction of plastic straws and plastic bags worldwide. Like, did you guys happen to see chatter on that and on the interwebs?
It's such a, like, it seems like a tiny thing. Like, you know, we are banning straws, but I think it's it got the PR and attention that it deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it was impossible to miss it. And I did see some of the backlash, and what the backlash I saw around it revolved around two points. One is that straws in number in certain areas, like if you're in the Dominican Republic, you'll see a lot of them, right? There's tons of beachside resorts. And so they seem like they're a huge thing. And then also, you know, it was picked off by that one video. It's been viewed millions of times as the sea turtle with the straw up his nose. But in the large scheme of things, straws actually make up very, very, very little of plastic waste. And if we were going after the most impactful plastic, it might actually be ghost fishing nets that we would go after, or nurdles, which are like little plastic pellets that they make into plastic products that keep on getting like accidentally dumped overboard at the ocean. So there's a lot of things that we could be going after, but for some reason, straws really broke out of the pack. And I think it's just because it's very easy to understand and something that makes people feel empowered to do something about the plastic problem.
Yeah, it's something that people run into every day. You know, people very much are using straws in their drinks. And I feel like it is one of those small steps that people felt like they could use to make a big difference. The next thing I wanted to talk about on the less waste train is the rise of Marie Kondo. So she had a huge year with her Netflix show coming out and becoming more of a part of the cultural conversation. And, you know, we've talked about Marie Kondo before on this podcast. I think her method of making sure people are being very conscious about what they're purchasing, hopefully purchasing less things, and of course, sparking joy, whatever that really means, with items in your house is a really interesting, you know, way for people to think about making a difference. And it's probably presented in a way that was not, people hadn't thought about previously.
Exactly. I think you're right. Exactly, Laura, because I was just going to say, like, all of us, the ethical brands and members of the, you know, sustainability movement, we can take example from Marie Kondo because, you know, she didn't even try to portray it as, you know, she's like fighting for environment or she's encouraging us to shop less. She's like, get rid of the stuff that doesn't bring you joy. That's a perfect way to put it. And before I give it, Alden a chance to kind of talk about it, you know, just the documentary, when it came out, ThredUp, it's it's an online thrift store, basically. They have this service that you can request a clean out kit to get rid of your clothes that you don't want anymore. Just because of Marie Kondo's documentary, this ThredUp saw a 50% increase in site traffic since January when the documentary came out. So it was definitely a marketing success and helped our movement quite a lot, I think.
Well, did you see, though, that about 2 weeks ago, she launched an online store where you can buy stuff that she loves?
Yes, we were just talking about that before we started recording. I think she's got that stick that's like $20 or something. I don't know. So, yeah. I mean, what do you find particularly? Do you find that problematic as well, Alden? Or like, what do you think about it?
I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? I think that she said she did it because people were asking her what they should buy. And so she felt like she needed to tell people. And if she was going to keep telling people, why not just put a store up? I think where it really bothers me is what it says about, it bothers me that she got that question, and I get that question a lot, and sometimes I answer it, but most of the time, and you've seen me do this before, I will stop the person and I'll say, what if it's not about buying the right thing, but it's about just not buying it in the first place? And it's unfortunate that she's never come out and said that, and now she's saying, like, yeah, if you just buy the right thing, then, you know, if everything you own that you bought brings you joy, like, that's going to solve the problem. When I know we've all had a thing where we thought something brought us joy and we were wrong.
Exactly. So, and I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, we get this question a lot with Brightly, too. Obviously, like, our mission is to make sure people are empowered to be conscious consumers in a variety of ways. And one of those ways is we do recommend brands and products for people to purchase. But I think one of the things we often try and get across is, yes, the most sustainable thing to do is to not buy new things. And so, you know, that I think is just such it's an easily said piece of advice. I wouldn't say it's an easy piece of advice to follow. And so, especially like in the holiday timeframe, when people really feel the need to purchase new things, I think there is power in, you know, purchasing the right thing if you need to buy something, which I know, of course, is you know, some of the work you've done with EcoCult. So the last thing in the waste bucket I want to talk about was how some new companies and brands are popping up that are creating items from new recycled materials. So Lisa and I are big textile nerds. I know you are too, Alden. And I think one of the interesting things that we saw this year were a bunch of different materials coming up. So of course, there's been innovations in reusing recycled plastic, which, you know, is not a perfect solution to the plastic problem that we have, but it's like one way to potentially help offset some of the plastic waste that we have. There's also been, you know, of course, this wasn't really new to 2019, but always, you know, we're seeing new innovations with like fruit waste. So there's like piña techs, and I know someone's trying to make fabric out of mushrooms. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the more innovation we can see from startups who are tackling these problems from a really deep tech perspective is just really key. And Alden, I wondered if there was like another, you know, any type of innovation that you feel like really like stood out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the ones that I'm most excited about is a material out of Finland. It's called Infinitive Fiber. And what it is they can take almost a lot of different types of plant material, but they can take cotton and they can recycle it into a cotton-like fiber. So as a consumer, you would never be able to see the difference between regular cotton and this cotton that's made from recycled cotton. Because right now, if you physically recycle cotton, so you chop it up, it degrades the quality of the cotton. But this is like end-to-end, and it's actually carbon negative, which is very exciting. So that's one of the innovations I'm really, really pumped about.
That's awesome. So the next bucket is a negative spin on what we were just talking about. So we're going to remember, we're trying to positive and negative. So one negative piece of information or bucket that kind of came out in 2019 was this really realization that we as consumers have been pretty much lied to. I mean, yeah, we've been lied to by the powers that be around recycling. So we've all grown up, you know, being really excited about recycling. I think the 70s is when, you know, when we as consumers here in the States, at least, got excited about recycling. The issue, and actually the New York Times put out a really interesting video on this. So we'll link to that in the show notes that really summarizes the issue. But the issue is like less than 10% of the waste that we are sending to recycling plants. So that means like after you've taken the time to put something in a recycling bin. So I'm not talking about all the other stuff that ends up just kind of in your trash can, but of that stuff you have sent to the recycling plant, less than 10% of it is actually getting recycled. And, you know, we used to, back in the day, we used to send recycling, you know, bits and pieces overseas, like over to China, over to parts of Africa, etc. And those places have actually now said, we don't want your waste anymore. We can't handle it. So unfortunately, we're now starting to see local counties and local governments in the States actually suspend their recycling programs. So that's a bummer. It's not great.
We've seen this coming for a really long time, though. I mean, it's interesting because in Europe, they treat waste disposal, like responsible waste disposal, as a public good and a must-do. Whereas, I don't think a lot of people know, but in the United States, we treat it as a private sector thing. So what we do is cities pay a lot of money to physically collect things, but then they try to make that money back by selling the waste to various outfits who recycle it and then try to sell it onwards. And unfortunately, we're producing so much waste that it's worthless. Nobody wants it. And so that's the problem. And I think if we're going to fix this problem, we're going to have to fundamentally rethink the way we think of responsible waste reduction and recycling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's both the attacking the system, you know, that we use to recycle things, to your point. And it's also as consumers thinking about how can we create less plastic waste, and, you know, there's all sorts of pieces there. But Lisa, you want to get us started with another topic?
Yeah, the next one, let's do a positive one this time. And this has been all over the news just recently. We're talking about the climate strike and, of course, Greta Thunberg, who just won Times Person of the Year and very deservedly so. So Greta is a 15-year-old from Sweden who literally started the climate strike movement, right? Which is also known as you know, school strike for climate or Fridays for climate, which is basically school children. It's an international movement, and they take time off from class to participate in demonstrations to demand action to prevent further global warming. And I was just wondering to myself, as like, you know, obviously there's a lot of adults who have been doing that, but you need like this young generation who are literally telling us to take action, because it's, you know, they are the ones who will inherit this planet. And I think this is probably why it got such virality. What's your take on that, Alden?
I think it's been really interesting because Greta's incredibly compelling. I also I talked to other climate activists this year that are from island nations, which are really going to suffer the most, low-lying island nations. And there's been some chatter around why these people that are not from Sweden or the global north are getting ignored in this conversation, which is a really long topic to cover. But I think that anything that can be done to move people towards taking actual action in a concerted way for climate mitigation and trying to fix this problem the best way you can is a good thing.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, too, because Global South is the one, the countries in the Global South will be the one that will be hurt the most by climate, unfortunately. But yeah, I agree with you. Any way we can move the conversation and action, start getting on taking action is super important, and it's very time critical at this point. Laura, you also wanted to talk about like Gen Z efforts and like American Eagle getting involved for Giving Tuesday. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Gen Z, of which none of us are on this call, unfortunately. No, we would all be classified mostly as millennials or elder millennials. But yeah, Gen Z is really rising up to meet the just urgency and the needs of just overall education and action as it relates to climate change. So, of course, Greta is a great example. I think she's technically Gen Z. I'm not 100% sure, but she at least embodies their spirit. But, you know, we've seen a variety of reports come out by some of these consulting firms that are mentioning that Gen Z consumers are very much willing to pay more for ethical and sustainably made products, which is great. And they're also pushing on brands that have, you know, traditionally sat with that age demographic to do better. And so one of those examples is American Eagle. So I know we can all remember going and shopping at American Eagle when we were in high school,
exactly.
Junior high, et cetera. And, you know, I think just because of the demand of their customers, American Eagle actually just did a campaign to put, they put QR codes in t-shirts to help people donate to their favorite causes. And they did that in honor of Giving Tuesday. So that's just like one example. You know, H&M is always in hot water because of their role in fast fashion, which we'll talk more about fast fashion in a while. But, you know, that the CEO of H&M has said that he's worried about Gen Z because he thinks it's going to impact his bottom line. And honestly, like all the fast fashion producers should be worried. And
exactly.
As we would say in Texas, they should be quaking in their boots. They really should. They should be.
Well, that's really interesting because I think I see two trends with Gen Z. And it's weird because it's like people never talk about them at the same time. But yeah, you have them being activists, but you also have them contributing to the rise of brands like Boohoo and Misguided. So you have, on the one hand, you have them talking about inclusivity, but sometimes I've heard the term inclusivity be turned against ethical and sustainable brands. Like, your brand's not inclusive because it's out of my budget. And so that's a tension that's at the heart of the conscious fashion movement, which is, should everyone have access to this stuff? And if they don't, why not? And it's something that I think is going to come up again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point around price consciousness of this generation and everyone. And yeah, I mean, like what Fashion Nova, like all this type of like throwaway fashion, I think is always going to be something that people who are like focused on being trend forward are always going to be probably the ones thinking more about like they should be thinking about fast fashion anyway. So Lisa, is that about what we wanted to chat about with climate strike and the youths?
The last part about the climate for this episode of kind of year overview is, why Greta is the person of the year, why school children are coming out and taking time away from class is because of the climate emergency, right? I noticed you, Laura, climate emergency is the word of 2019, coined by Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah, I mean, I was just again, Lisa and I like to do a lot of research before these episodes, and I was just trying to find a few interesting tidbits. And yeah, Oxford Dictionaries came out and said, climate emergency is the year is the word of the year in 2019, which is just really interesting. I think obviously there's been quite a few natural disasters that have been coming up, particularly like droughts, some things that we can, very much point to climate change being the cause of. I think, Lisa and I live up here in Northern California, where there were some really, really bad fires. And we were personally affected by like the smoke, but that was where we are affected. That's where our inconvenience stopped. Obviously, there's just so many people who are unfortunately lost their homes, lost their livelihoods. And of course, you can also think about what's been happening in Australia in the past few months around their bushfires and, the impact on koalas. I do think there's, and there, of course, and I think Alden is probably very familiar with this and more than willing to talk about it, but I know there was also a consortium of scientists who got together and said, "Hey, guess what, world? We are really at a tipping point with the climate change, and we've got to do something about it." And it was a very bleak report, to be honest. So, yeah, that was a lot to take in.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying. I mean, every day I see new headlines about how methane is being released from the Antarctic. The ice shelves are falling into the ocean. And we're going to start down this path towards a feedback loop. So more ice melts, more methane release, climate warms up more ice melts, sea levels rise. And I've also seen that apparently we've been predicting this incredibly accurately for the last 30 years. The climate models have been accurate. The only thing that the climate models got wrong is that they actually thought we might be releasing more carbon. And so, but they've been accurate. Like we've known what's going to happen for a really long time.
Yeah, and I love that you use the word terrifying because it's absolutely the one I would use to describe it as well. And especially the fact that we have been accurate at predicting this is such a key thing to first just like stop and think about, because I think one of the ways that we have been allowed to continue on this path of ruining the earth basically has been there's a trend to try and discredit the way that scientists do models or just data in general. I think everybody has all run into somebody at some point in your life that's like, "Well, we could slice the data five ways," and don't try and be fooled by someone who is telling you figures in the wrong way. And yeah, that's true. People do manipulate numbers to tell specific stories. We should always be thinking critically about things that are presented to us. That being said, they were right. The scientists were right. And I think, we need to think more about giving voice to these types of, whistleblowers that are really trying to help nature. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. I mean, I hate to be cavalier by saying that, but it absolutely is disheartening to hear that information. Yeah, can't even say much more about
Yeah,
it.
but we have hope in Greta and the next generation, and that's keeping it positive and actually doing something about it. I think we're on the right path.
Alden, Lisa, and I will be back next week when we release the second part of this episode, where we discuss even more ethical and sustainable news trends that we saw in 2019. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast. While you're visiting, don't forget to join in on the conversation by leaving us a question through voicemail or giving us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all the social channels. Our username is brightly.eco. Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.